This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ba'd. Welcome back. It's an honor and a privilege, alhamdulillah, to reconnect with you. Alhamdulillah, we're coming together in these 10 blessed days of Dhul Hijjah. Alhamdulillah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us the small things that we do and make them greater in our scale than we would assume them to be in their value and in their worth. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us His khayr, His barakah, His goodness in this life and goodness for us in the next life and protects us from the punishment of Jahannam. Allahumma ameen. It's your brother Yahya Ibrahim coming to you live once again from Perth, Western Australia, from my home to yours through the beauty of the technological advances that we have and through the facility of Islam Channel UK. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala support them, assist them to carry the message of Tawheed and truth and peace and harmony with humanity to all of the different corners of the world. Allahumma ameen. And may Allah reward us for taking part of it. You as viewers and myself as a contributor and a content contributor. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. We have an important kind of special Dhul Hijjah session. And in the last session, we spoke about the importance of these 10 days by looking at the verses, the opening verses of Surah Al-Fajr. And now I wanted to change our focus a little bit to speak about the ways we can capture the spirit of Hajj, the reward of Hajj, even though we remain in our homes. For those of us, alhamdulillah, who have been blessed to have gone onto the sacred journey, to have been blessed with the opportunity to return back to our parents, our homes, reborn, كَمَا وَلَدَتْنَا أُمَّهَاتُنَا, as if we have just been born, as the Prophet ﷺ said, that the one who comes to Hajj and performs a Hajj that is mabrur, a Hajj that has fulfilled all of the requirements, has met all of the Sunnah traditions, has been a person who has fulfilled those rites, then they return, كَمَا وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ, they return home as if they are newborn, reborn. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who have this honor into our future, and that it was honored to us in the past in our previous Hajj. Allahumma ameen. I want, inshallah, to allow you to feel surety in your heart that there are those whose intention of Hajj is pure, and because of their sincerity to Allah, they are given the reward of Hajj even though they have not traveled, even though they have not been able to afford it, even though they have not been able to take that journey, to put down that income, to spend from their wealth or their health or their opportunity, they have been able to earn the reward as if they were there. And Allah gives us precedent of this in the Quran. Allah speaks, for example, about the battle of Tabuk, where the Prophet ﷺ, it was a long journey. They were going to travel all the way to what is now the borders of Jordan. They're going to go to the, 1,000-kilometer journey that they're traveling. And as they're traveling, they need to have enough provisions, food and water, an animal that can carry them there. And there were Sahaba, subhanAllah, who were dirt poor, who did not even own anything more than the clothing they wore on their back. They had escaped persecution. They had not yet built up enough to be able to sustain the journey with the Prophet ﷺ. تَوَلَّوا وَأَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيدُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ. When they came to the Prophet asking, is there any way he can take them with him? He said, لَا أَجِدُ مَا أَحْمِلَكُمْ عَلَيْهِ. I have nothing to be able to carry you with me in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they turn back with their eyes welled up with tears and anguish in their heart at their inability to go. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that there was no wadi, no mountain, no valley, no rock, nothing that they passed over, إِلَّا وَهُمْ مَعَكُمْ, except that they accompanied you in it. Their spirit, their intent, their sincerity, their purity of heart, their honesty, their truthfulness, their sidq with Allah was so captivating, so pure, so true, that the reward was guaranteed for them in a way that those who may have gone with the Prophet ﷺ and were in the journey and were sincere, but their sincerity and their journey did not reach them the same level as those who has traveled. One of the great moments is in Sufyan, is in Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, rahmatullahi alayhi, one of the great imams one of the great muhaddithin, one of the great teachers of al-Islam in the era of those who lived after the Sahaba. And, you know, he was accustomed to going to Hajj each and every year. And one year he saw that there was somebody who had a financial need. And after having gathered all of his wealth, all of his property, he's heading to Hajj. It used to be a month-long journey to get there. He saw this person had more need for that which he had made as a provision for himself. He immediately changed his Hajj plan and he said, take this property, feed yourself, feed your family, feed your home. You know, this is zakat now for you. Change this intention. And then he turned to his people and he said, I have never been more assured of Allah accepting my Hajj, my intention for Hajj, more than this moment, than me departing from my wealth. He's already been to Hajj once. He's already done his Hajj once. So he says, I've never been more assured that Allah will accept the Hajj of the past and the sincerity of my intention in this Hajj than this moment that I was able to depart with my wealth for somebody's need instead of my want. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our heart to be sincere and true in the pursuit of truly desiring to perform the Hajj for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have a caller on the line and we'll continue with our discussion. Assalamu alaikum, caller. How can I help?
Walaikum salam. Brother, I won't take long. You're discussing really, really good things. Just one thing that we need to educate people before they go to Hajj, that they need, their main aim should be to submit your will for Allah's will. And the best jihad is like to control your nafs. And when you stay there, you need to stay away from everything which is like the Hazrat Ibrahim's sacrifice was the main message, is that you submit your will and you totally listen to Allah, and whatever Allah's commands are, we need to fulfill them commands. That's the main object of our life and our Hajj should be.
Allahu Akbar. Jazakallah khair, our dear sister. And this is one of the points that I will continue with, inshallah. When we say that we want to be sincere in our intention, makes us of those who are privileged to go to Hajj. One of the aims behind that, of course, my dear sister, is that we begin the journey of Hajj before departing. So as you are intending to make Hajj in this year or the next year or the year after, you begin by looking at what are things that are haram that you depart from. What are the things that are halal that you maintain? What are the things that are sunnah that you practice? What are the things that are fard that you establish in your life, seeking by that a qurba and a nearness to Allah? Because Allah is not confined to a location. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not only found near the Kaaba. Your dua is not only useful if you are looking at the Kaaba or standing in front of it or touching the black stone or the multazam. Your connection to Allah transcends time and place and circumstance. And that is an important issue that our sister raises. Jazahullahu anna khayr al-jaza. So I wanted to speak about the importance of galvanizing the spirit of Hajj in our hearts to earn the reward of Hajj, even if we have not made the trip yet. Now we're going to study some important hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I've established from a philosophical, from a spiritual, from an usul sense that a person can earn the reward of an action even though they have not performed that action. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man hamma," the one who comes to do something, the one who has the intention to do something and fulfills it, they get the reward of the intention and the reward of the action. And the one who intends to do something but does not fulfill it, is not able to do it, is not given the opportunity to practice it, then they receive the reward of having done it, even though they have not carried it out on accordance to the intention that they had in their heart. Allahu Akbar, Tabarak al-Rahman. How generous is Allah? How vast is the mercy of Allah? How accommodating, loving, giving, supporting, and increasing is Allah Rabbul Izzah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How virtuous is our relationship with our Maker, our Creator, Jalla Jalalu wa taqaddasat asma'uhu wa sifatuhu Jalla an ash-shabihi subhanahu wa ta'ala dhul jalali wal ikram. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us more and more of righteousness on account of our sincerity of heart in the things that we fail to perform and practice. Allahumma ameen. So from a conceptualization, you can earn a reward for a good deed even though you weren't able to fulfill it. Prophet ﷺ says in the well-famous hadith that all of us know, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, that actions are judged in accordance to their intentions. So when you have an action that you have a strong intention for, and you intend to perform that action, your action is only accepted in accordance to the amount of sincerity and ikhlas and intent and truthfulness and sidq that you had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in these 10 days that we find ourselves in, even though we're not able to journey, I want you to know that these are the 10 days where all of the prayer, where all of the five pillars are found inside them. We're about to go live to the Dhuhr prayers in Mecca al-Mukarramah. I'm about to pray Salatul Maghrib here in Perth, Western Australia. I will rejoin you again after a few minutes. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khair. How many minutes do we have, my brother? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. How many minutes do we have, my brother? Okay, inshallah, 10 minutes. We'll be back bi idhnillahi ta'ala. Jazakallah khair. Allahi barik fi. For those who are watching on my social media streams, I will reconnect another live feed in 10 minutes, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.